Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me as always, with his hands on his hips about to take a sip of coffee, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Absolutely disgusting.
Hands on my hip. It's the morning when I dip, you dip, we dip.
Can't believe the new year is starting off with this much sass. Norm, welcome to 2023. So, who's your favorite wife so far?
It's a tie between you and the dog.
I'm mortified. Norm, how you feeling? Scale of 1 to 10 in terms of your self-esteem and in terms of the new year. Is it a new you?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. It's weird stuff. It's just weird times, the start of the year. But
yes.
In our dry January lasted, 6 hours?
Maybe. Mine not even.
Yeah, yours not even.
Mine lasted 2.
We did go to the Clippers game last night. It was fun.
That's right. It was really fun. We had a good time.
Good. Yeah, what, like a 6?
Yeah, 6 is okay. It's hard 7 because there's a lot of pressure for the year to start off with a bang. Yeah. Like there's a lot of pressure to be like new year, new me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe our transition into the new year needs to be new year, leave us alone for now.
Yeah, and I'm in a bit of a Glenn Frey situation. The heat is on.
Mama.
Until about February. So this is where I have to hunker down and get stuff done.
You have a lot to do and I have almost nothing to do. So it's a really hard I have nothing till the end of the month. Then I'm filming some stuff and going out of town, but
right.
I can't control that. Right. these first 2 weeks, I got nothing.
Yeah, and my stuff's popping on.
Your stuff is popping off.
I said popping on.
You said popping on. Well, I think it's popping off the charts.
Okay.
Norm, you're going out of town. You're going to miss me as always. You're going to have an epiphany.
Oh, that's right. Yes, of course. Yeah, usually when you leave town, I have an epiphany.
But it's
now,
true.
If I leave town, which is AKA popping on,
nothing happens to me.
Nothing happens to you, and maybe I'll have an epiphany on the plane.
Yeah, you're going to be gone for less than 72 hours, and I'm worried about our marriage. It's just, can we bear to be away that long?
It was funny. Yesterday, we were at the Clipper game. And if you've never been to Staples Center, the one thing that's kind of interesting is all the gals are dressed to the nines.
To the nines. You had to see these beauts.
Yeah. Like, it's New Year's Eve. It's prom. They're all babes.
Everybody.
And all of the guys are just ghouls.
Ghouls. Absolute slobs. It was
pasty
disgusting.
Slugs.
I saw a bunch of beautiful women walking around with wet rags. It was disgusting. Yeah. Said that twice because I had to.
Yeah.
No, it was pretty bad just in terms of that. Do you think we also fit that profile? Because
yes.
I was wearing an oversized men's jersey and your sweatshirt as well.
Yes.
I was wearing pretty much all your clothes.
I was coated in slug goo.
Norm, I think you're an absolute knockout.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Wow, cool. Is that going to be your goal of 2023? Absolute knockout?
That's right. Well, I am going to Miami.
Pronounced Miami, but go on.
In a couple days. And there's probably way more good-looking guys there. I'll feel like a pile of rags at the Staples Center in Miami.
Oh, my God. You're a wet rag now in advance.
That's right.
I'm so proud of you.
Wet rag.
Welcome to the masses.
So starting the year off right, feeling like a wet rag.
Starting the year off right, a little wet. That's how we like to start our year.
It has been raining quite a bit.
Oh, the weather. Guys, did you hear the eye roll on that one?
Imagine we just started talking about the weather for 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. I wish when I wouldn't give such good content for the podcast. Finally.
A lot of leaves out there.
Reason to listen.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm looking out the window.
Norm, if you had one short-term goal of 2023, what would it be? It can exist at any point in the year.
One short-term goal?
Yes, of 2023.
You know, I read this. I'm not a huge horoscope guy, but Ingrid Haas posted like on her Instagram stories like this, like horoscope for her year or whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, I clicked on it and I went to I'm a Pisces and then
boy does it show.
No idea what that means. I used to read the horoscope like as a gag.
Yeah, same.
I don't really think too much about it, but it did say something where it's like making things that are seemingly difficult easy.
Well, I think that's why I said short term.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my
okay. Yeah, goal. Because it's like when you make a long term goal where you're like, I'm going to change this about my whole life. It's like that can seem really overwhelming. But if you're like, you know what, I'm going to hike 3 times this week. It's like that's a short term goal. Maybe you can pull off.
But this one was just basically saying like, you know, you already are working this like situation, making difficult situations seem easy. You know, now this year is going to be about acting through and making it like feel like you are capable of doing them in an efficient way.
Norm 2023, he's easy.
That's right.
Then you're going to be putting out more pulleys.
Yeah, this 2023 Norm, this rag is easy.
Wet. This rag is soaking.
Yeah, because of the rain.
Because of the rain. Well, I say we get to it.
I think we should.
Let's kick it off with the first cast of the year, short for podcast. It's an industry term I made up.
I don't know if that's true.
I think we should get to it.
To the first cast.
To the first cast of the year. Shall we?
Yeah.
Everybody, please help me welcome my guest, to my delight, Don Luby, right after this break. It's a self-esteem party.
It's a self-esteem party.
Don, welcome.
Thank you.
To the Self-Esteem Party podcast. Let me move my mic, and the mic has been moved. I know what you're thinking. I've been sitting here for 10 minutes, and I could have moved this mic at any point.
No, you gotta be recording.
Well, I just was like, the people love this.
They love it. Yeah, that's what they're here for.
They want like the real Hollywood insider moving mics and what have you.
Yes, it's all happening live.
Now, Dawn, you just confessed to having binged 10 episodes of the podcast this week.
Yes.
Okay, so you know how this starts.
Yes, you're going to ask me how I'm feeling on a scale of 1 to 10.
In terms of your
self-esteem.
Yes!
I know. I said that with no self-esteem.
It was like maybe the most insecure I've ever heard somebody in my life.
Well.
You seemed fine when you walked in here, but man, this is taking a turn.
Things got dark.
Things got really dark when I gave you that Kirkland soda water.
Yes. Who knows what's in there?
It's so true. So how you feeling?
Well, I think I'm at a 6.
I accept. Tell me everything.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's this thing where I've been, since the, really towards the beginning of the pandemic, spending so much time in Seattle, due to, like, my sister had a baby, and I was helping her out, and our house is being renovated. So all this stuff where I haven't been in LA much at all.
Yeah.
And I, a week ago, was feeling really low and really, like, I no longer was part of a community.
Oh my God.
Like, and I'm like, who even knows who I am anymore? Like but I've been in LA all week and have been like seeing people who I haven't seen in years. And it's kind of, given me the lift and like a bit of a sense of like belonging and purpose that, I think is so linked to self-esteem for me.
Yeah.
Like being a part of like my community of comedy and friends. And,
because it was all we had. It literally took up our whole lives, the comedy community and going to shows, going to parties, and then rehearsing for those shows and the plans for the parties. And then by day trying to hustle to get the jobs from comedy. And that's why you go to the shows. Like, it's all consuming.
It was like a whole life that just stopped. And for a while it was like, well, fun. Maybe I'll like learn how to bake.
Oh my God. Like, the things I thought I could do.
My husband. That
oh, you're here. Hi. Oh, you're in the house. Okay. Hello.
And then like after a certain amount of time, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, what do I do?
Yeah.
Or I just like missed people so much. So today I'm feeling good. Like.
Yeah. And, so can I ask, so when you were at that low, like what are we talking, 2, 3, like is it that you've come up say a couple points because of the socializing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so much of my like what makes me feel fulfilled and good is being around other people, and especially like, I don't know, comedy people and artists.
Yeah.
And,
well, we're your friends and your coworkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We're both.
Yeah. And in Seattle, I spend most of my time there with, aside from my husband, who I love and is great, but I spend so much time with my sister and her kids, who are incredible, and they've been like the saviors of the pandemic for me in many ways. But it's like a different, there's this whole side of me that I feel like is has just been kind of absent or buried.
Yeah.
That's like the social, funny, like.
Well, it's you know, most people's family are, I don't know a better word, normal.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's no offense. It's no offense to anybody. It's like, I enjoy my time with you and this is fun, but it's a different kind of fun. Whereas like when you're with your friends, especially we're so lucky in comedy, you are entertained. Like I'm watching a movie or something. Yes. I am so entertained. So it's like addictive because you're like, this makes me feel, the industry's hard and can make me feel bad. But when I'm with my friends of it, it makes me feel really good because, I feel seen and heard of people that get what I'm saying and doing.
Exactly.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been nice. Like Jocelyn DeBoer and I work together every day. And when I'm in Seattle, we just are on FaceTime all day, every day, which we've gotten like pros at. But when I'm here, we work like side by side and we have so many popcorn snack breaks and that is really fun. And
you
nice.
Know, she told me when she came on the podcast, it's so funny that you're talking about missing people because she came on the podcast and she was telling me we're like your guys' routine, you know, cause we were talking about the day to day stuff and everything. And then she was like, Don's God, I miss her so much. And I was like, oh, how long has she gone for? And she's like, it's been a day. Yeah, and I was like, oh,
way longer than I
did. I was like, it's so dramatic.
I know. It's funny. Like with Jocelyn, we individually, like we spend so much more time together than we do with our partners or anyone else. Like a little less so during the pandemic. But before the pandemic, it was just like, you know, spending 12, 16 hours a day most days. And now we're getting back to that. I don't know that it's a healthy routine, but
but we are really thrilled.
Everyone else is, you know, sacrificing.
Yeah, this is going to be the last public appearance of yours. And then you're back into Jocelyn world. No, I think it's like, it's great what you have with Jocelyn because she's a slice of the community. So you still had that, even though you had to work in different ways. Like you said, FaceTime when you're in Seattle and stuff like that. But it's hard when you kind of lose the acquaintances, the middle of the road people. Like I'm one of them, of you.
Yes.
Where it's like,
we've
known each other for years.
Each other all the time.
I used to see you at the gym all the time. It's like we were part of, come to your shows and, Search Party, is it?
Search History.
Yes. Sorry. But, oh, wait, that's a TV show I said. That's Jocelyn's show, though.
Jocelyn's show, but I'm usually there.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just like, it's so interesting that it's like, you don't realize how much you missed the middle ground people, where you're like, oh, you used to be this, like, refresher. I wouldn't see you all the time, but when I did, it was fun. It was energetic. We only had good things to report, or we would make the bad things funny because it's like, I have such a little time with you. Let's enjoy it type of thing. And then, you know, you don't have that. And you, in the pandemic, at least for me, sounds like for you, you're talking to the core group still. So what? Three people we all have. Less than five. Anyone with more than five best friends is a liar.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got your five or less, let's be honest.
Yes.
And, you know, you've got them, but you already know their stuff. It's ongoing. So when you run into somebody else, you're like, new stories, new experiences. What are all of them? It's been nice having people on the podcast, but I got to say, Jocelyn, oh my God, I just called you Jocelyn.
It's
Dawn, because I just mentioned Jocelyn. My apologies. But I got to say, you're not the first one talking about missing community. And man, has UCB reopening, Upright Citizens Brigade, really brought a lot of light into people's lives.
Yes.
Like, you are not the only one saying this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I have friends again, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And joy.
Yes. Not to put it all on this building, but like kind of, it's like school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
it really is.
When you're in high school or middle school, whatever, your social life is at school. Sometimes you could see people on a weekend or like
you know, if your parents would drive you somewhere or something, or you had neighborhood friends, but you're like, my whole social life is here. Like, for me, I don't know if you, like, I would have boyfriends all the time that I never spoke with, of course. you know, I was like 13 being like, ooh, we're in love. I haven't talked to him in a couple of months, but I love him and I know I do. But it's like that my dating life was at school. Like everything was at school. And that's kind of what UCB felt like to me. Although I never dated anyone there because when I first moved here, that little tyrant, Holly Prazoff, was like, don't date anyone in the theater and warned me.
Oh, really?
I listened to her, and then she fucking marries Joe Wingert, a teacher nonetheless. Like, are you kidding? Now, was he her teacher 5 to 7 years previous? Yes, of course, but I know a scandal when I hear one, okay?
Absolutely.
And this is it.
I know. I never dated anyone in the community either, but it wasn't because I didn't want to. I tried. It's just so much rejection. So I was like, oh, I guess I gotta go elsewhere.
But you're also,
but it wasn't by choice.
You're also dealing with the most insecure people on the planet, the most confident and the most insecure.
That's what I tell myself, from lack of attraction or anything.
Dawn, I gotta tell you, first of all, you're a knockout. Get real. Showing up here in these beautiful burnt orange jeans. Come on now. Thank you for noticing my rose jeans.
Thank you.
But it's like, reset, Elena. The guys in comedy that I have gotten to know or had crushes on or whatever, fantastic, great, lovely, stage crush, this and that. But when you peel back the layers, first of all, it's either A, there's none there. So it's a what you see is what you get. That's not cool. It's just bits. It's just jokes. And two, you're dealing with people that were like bullied in high school and stuff like that and all this. And then it's like now you go into comedy and you're the top dog and whatever. So it's like you're kind of dealing with a lot of broken people that masked it, like so many of the not to generalize, but a lot of the guys that come on the podcast have newly discovered therapy.
Listen,
it's nothing but good props out of me. I'm like, good on you. You start when you start, whenever your journey is. But for some of them, as they've opened up on the podcast and stuff, a lot of it is dealing with that kind of high school, middle school, trying to fit in. And
yeah, it's like interesting how they, why they developed.
Exactly. How they got into comedy, class clown, how that all, or like, you know, maybe didn't date in college or something. And then this was their way or like whatever. But I'd had one ex, the last person I dated in comedy up until Norm, who I knew from back home anyway. So he still was not in the theater. So I did listen to Holly. But the last guy I dated, it was such a public breakup. Because it's in the community. Yeah. This is in Toronto. Very small.
Yeah.
It was so public and mortifying. And then everybody knows every detail about you and dating you and this and that. And then you know what
like
I mean?
You have all the same friends.
Oh, my
and
God.
And it feels like you just want that person to not die, but just to go away for a
and
while.
Die,
and
yes.
die. And then, you know, maybe come back to
absolutely
life at some point
die.
When you're ready to see them. But
exactly. But that's like...
Yeah, it's so hard.
It's interesting because he was friends with Norm and Norm took his side, obviously, in the breakup. But that's what it was. It was taking sides. Because the community is so small, you literally had to pick who you were going to talk to because it was that small. And Holly was right to tell me no on doing that. And it would have, like, I just didn't want to lose more friends like I did that time before.
Yeah.
Because UCB was really tight, is still really tight. And, you know, all of a sudden you date someone and then it's like, or you were on a team with them or shows with them, and now you're like, no, I'm not going to do the show.
Right.
I'm not going to, you know what I mean? What do you do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Messy.
Yeah, it is messy.
But you went outside. You said,
I did.
It.
I ended up dating a computer programmer.
Perfect.
The sexiest kind of person.
Always
is.
What I'm after.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's
so
that?
Sexy,
you've got a couple
so
of keyboards, computer.
<Ooh. laughs>
Not even cool music.
Will you program for me?
I'll let you program me any day. They're like, we can't. You're not data.
No,
and you're like, okay.
Please don't.
It's a huge show.
Like but we met randomly through, not randomly, we met through my sister. He was friends.
The Seattle sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I lived in New York and they like came up, her and her ex-boyfriend, they all came to New York to like see some shows. I was like, oh, maybe I'll come and like meet up with you. And we went and saw Book of Mormon.
Oh my God.
Which was so fun. And then after the show, immediately my sister got violently ill. And so her and her boyfriend went back to like the hotel.
Oh God.
And I was like, this man who I had just met, I was like, I don't know, do you want to like go get a milkshake? And so, and then we ended up talking till like 2 in the morning.
Wait, stop. Stop. You did you for real offer the milkshake?
Yes. Well, I knew he didn't really drink, so I was okay. Like, oh no, what?
For, yeah, even though he like, doesn't weird. Drink.
It's like, and we're
say all, a coffee.
We were also 12. No, just kidding.
I mean, sure. 12 seen Book of Mormon alone in New York.
Yeah, kind of
wow. Okay.
Yeah, and then we like really hit it off, and I remember thinking, oh, if he lived in New York, I bet we would date.
Yeah.
But we didn't. Nothing happened. Like, because I was also like, this is my sister's good friend.
Mm-hmm.
That thing of like, if we dated and broke up, then I don't want to like.
Yeah, and you don't want to like make that. It complicated for your sister or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it just
now her
like,
relationship with him, and she'll feel weird or something.
Yeah.
So then, wait. So what happened? Now I want the whole story. Oh. We got derailed.
No. So yeah, like it was several months later.
Yeah.
I had gone to Seattle to surprise my sister for it was her 30th birthday, and I like ended up hanging out with Jeff that weekend a lot and like kind of like liked him. But again, it's like, oh,
it's hard to like, exactly. It's
like, am I going to be in a relationship with someone in Seattle? And I had also kind of recently gotten out of like a very serious relationship in New York that was like 5 years.
Oh yeah.
And I was loving being single. Like I lived with like 3 friends in like a really shitty apartment, and it was just like a lot of fun. I was doing UCB. I had just like gotten on mod night there, and it was like,
that's a big victory when you're finally like, I'm in. That's one.
I'm not gonna date some dude in Seattle.
No.
You know, my shitty apartment and my mod team, and but then just like for months and months, we would kind of like email or like talk on the phone while I was dating other people, and I'd go on kind of bad dates and then like come home and talk to him.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know. It was like kind of romantic,
dude,
but not.
This is me and Nora. Keep going. This is like, we watched each other date other people.
Yeah.
And it's like, you were telling them as a friend being like, oh my God, this date was terrible. Yeah, like, but then you're also like, but why am I telling you when I have 5 or less best friends?
Yes.
That I could talk to instead.
Yes, I could truly call anyone.
I could call anybody else.
I'm calling my sister's weird friend in Seattle. Like
you could call your sister.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so correspondence.
And so, yeah, and then he started sending things to my office. I worked in this finance office, and it was like kind of open newsroom style. And like every day, our office manager would bring over like, oh, here's a like giant gummy bear, or here's a cotton candy machine, like all these things that he just was sending. And it was really annoying because I lived like 20-minute walk from the subway up like 6 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
And and it was also so embarrassing because everyone in my office was like, what's happening?
Oh my God. For someone you weren't even technically dating.
Yes.
Yes. Could be stalker.
And then, but eventually, I guess he just wore me down. And I was also like, well, I'm talking to him every night.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe this is the person I should be dating. This guy who's actually like incredibly kind and funny. And yeah, so then, but we like were always long distance.
That's what I was going to ask.
Seattle, New York. And we even got married while we lived in across the country from each other.
Wow.
And there was no plan. I was like, I don't care really about having a traditional marriage, or like, I don't have kids. Like,
we're the same. You go where work takes you, or what you have to do.
And I was like, I love this person, and I'd rather see him twice a month than anyone else. So I didn't feel like weird about marrying him, but it was like, I think my parents were like, are you ever going to like live on the same coast?
Yeah.
And then that was like one factor that I moved to LA. I was like, it would be nice to be on the same coast as my husband.
Smart.
And
because it's a 2-second flight. It's like nothing. It's so close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had been together 8 years when the pandemic happened, maybe 7.5.
Okay.
And that was the first time we had spent more than 4 consecutive weeks together in our whole relationship.
Wow.
We had always been
apart
long distance.
Yeah.
And I was terrified that
would end. How was it? Of course.
It was.
I thought Norm and I were going to die in here. I was
like,
we can't survive this.
I'm like, I'm so used to like living alone mostly.
Yeah.
And this is like our weird setup that works.
Yep.
And I thought that was just how I was like made to not be able to live with another person
but
all the time.
That's not crazy. That's not outrageous by any means. It's like, you know, you had a life before this person. You still have to like continue on in that life. So you're like, how lovely to have this bonus. But at the same time, I have other things that
like
fill my time and schedule.
Whole life
that's
full.
Yeah.
And like, And I was like, well, I don't want to just change that because of a person that I, you know, or like, that's like
he's
crap.
He's
like,
a white too,
like,
though.
Yeah. And also like he has a career and a life there that he loves and is passionate about. And that's like part of why I'm attracted to him.
Exactly.
He's like so excited about what he does.
The program.
It's strange and I don't get it.
I love it. No, I am so on board with it.
I mean, like,
you've won me.
He's like, I just go crazy if I don't program for too many days. And he does. He needs to program.
This is so funny. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of him, but
no,
like,
I am making fun of him. It's so strange.
The idea of somebody feeling about a computer the way that I feel about comedy is blowing my mind right now. Because with comedy, it's like me, like I'm literally selling myself and being myself and whatever. But with computer programming, I'm like, is this you, Data? Like, this is you?
No, I don't understand.
I don't. I don't get it.
I refuse to try to ever figure out what it is he does.
Guess what? Save it for Seattle.
Leave
it over there, okay? We don't want it here in LA. We don't want it. Wow. So then you spent that time together. You went up to Seattle.
Okay. Because my sister also lives there, and she's single and decided to have a baby. Like,
okay.
Used a donor and
Had
a baby on her own, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And she was really excited about until there was a pandemic, and she realized, like, oh, I have no support system anymore because
I
can't see anyone.
Yeah.
And I remember she was like 7 months pregnant. She had gone to a doctor's appointment. And it was like in March of 2020, and the doctor's office was like, "What are you doing here? Didn't you get the message? Like, you can't come here. The pandemic." And they gave her like a machine to monitor the baby's heart, and they're like, "All appointments are like on Zoom from now on. Come back when you're in labor." And she like called me from the parking lot crying, and she's like, "I can't go to the doctor anymore."
Oh my God! I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it was so. Just no one knew what was going on. But it was, and then it was like right then, and I like talked to Jeff and I was like, we have to go there.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Like, let's do it.
Well, he's loving it. You know, he's got his computer programmers in there. He is so happy. Some people are saying the pandemic was the best thing that ever happened to your husband.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. He's thriving.
So you were there taking care, helping out with your sister and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then he's working from home. So you're all in the house?
No.
Or
so we
you have a separate place?
We have a separate apartment.
Okay, because
so,
I was like, oh, that's an adjustment.
Even though she, I'm sure, likes, you know, us to be around, she's not around that much.
Okay, because I was like, that's a huge commitment that he spends as much time with your sister as you for the first time in your
marriage. Yes. No, not quite there.
Okay, good, good.
But then, so we were just up there, and I just work with Jocelyn via...
Yep. Of course.
Via FaceTime. So it sort of worked out like that
for
a while. But then, you know, a couple of years went by and it's like, oh, I don't know that I want to, like, have my life here.
Yeah.
It just felt so far from
everyone. I think
everyone.
A lot of people did that. A lot of people left at the beginning of the pandemic to wherever home is or something, or with family or whatever, like, for whatever reason, you know. And then you come to that fork in the road as things were kind of reopening and we were getting back to whatever we're calling normal now, you know, it's so different everywhere, that it's like you had to choose, be like, okay, where am I going to set up shop? Because this go-between, or like I'm paying for an apartment I'm not in, or I'm paying, you know, what I'm a mortgage on a house I don't live in, or like whatever the situation, you're like, I need an address.
Yeah.
Like at some point you have to get mail somewhere.
Yeah.
Like I had a friend who left. This is actually funny. Not good for her, but very funny. I'll tell you who it is after. She left and went home and didn't put a stop service on her mail. So she just stopped getting mail because they're like, I guess she moved. And like, we're talking checks. Like like mail that you need. And they had stopped for months. Like she just didn't exist anymore.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's why when I think about people leaving, that now makes me think you need mail. What about your mail? Where will the mail go?
I know, it's so true.
Yeah, but that's so cool that so now you're back here.
I'm back here, most of the time.
This is home base. Yeah, we're back now. And then you don't have to share if you don't want to, but you were out of the country recently. Remember when I first emailed you?
Yes. So we, Jocelyn and I, have been this last year and a half or so directing a lot of commercials.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You do one with Holly and a bunch of UCB people. Yes.
It's so fun. That specific campaign. I'm like, if anyone watches this, they'll be like, this is like very UCB 2018.
Oh, totally. all the hits in the commercials. You're like, someone from UCB directed this and cast it, obviously.
Yes, you absolutely know every person in the campaign. So we started doing a lot of commercials, and they've been, many of them, shooting abroad, which has been really nice after being, like, not traveling
really,
with the pandemic.
Really? That's so interesting, shooting abroad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think when we talked, I was
It was, like, the beginning
in
Poland.
In Poland.
Yes.
Yeah. We were shooting a fossil-free hydrogen campaign in Warsaw for... this like Swedish company.
I don't recall getting an audition. I'm a little upset about this. Wow, this is not on brand for you two.
No, well, it's weird. It's a comedy, but we were surprised to get it.
Wow, so it is a comedy. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's like a spoof of, it stars Cara Delevingne, and it's like this spoof of her like spraying like a face mist, but it's she's spraying wastewater on her face.
Okay.
And it's like clean enough that you can spray it on your face.
Copy that.
I don't know. I guess we learned about the fossil-free hydrogen process. It's not interesting, but it like only emits water as waste. And so she's talking about that. But
was she cool?
She was great. Yeah.
She's like devastatingly beautiful.
I mean,
I'm assuming in real life it's even more
breathtaking.
Yeah,
like
I
found myself speechless in a way that I hope wasn't creepy.
And she's so cool. I'm sure it was creepy. She's so cool. She's so cool. Like she'll post on social media. Like it's not even like, oh, photos where she looks so beautiful. Like she'll post silly photos. She's like a person.
She's really funny. And cool. It makes you mad. 'Cause you're like, how can you be so hot and actually funny?
Give
and
us
cool and
something.
Yeah. But no, she was great. Like the first shot we did was this like long take where like camera was like moving back the whole time, and she had to speak like for like 30 seconds of very like technical language about the fossil-free hydrogen process, and like a lot of like tricky language that had to be exactly word for
word.
And she just nailed it every
time. Good on her.
Yeah.
That's not me shortchanging the capabilities of models or actors. I will just say I consider myself to be a professional. I'm very quick to get off book. That shit's not easy.
Yes. No,
when it's
anyone.
Like
and
technical
like,
jargon and you're like, you can't say one thing wrong. That's very hard.
Yeah. And she was like standing on top of this like large prop chimney with smoke all around her and a fan.
See, that's a lot of contributing factors.
Move. Like it was just kind of chaos a little. And,
How was it? Have you been there before? What was it like? I've never been anywhere even close.
I had never been there, and it was fascinating. Like so much of the city was destroyed in World War II, and so it was completely rebuilt, but in the style of like
so it's new old buildings.
Yes, yeah, so it felt
kind
of like Disney.
Okay,
where it was these pristine. Old-timey buildings, but all, like, very, or, you know, new as in, like, the 50s, 60s.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's new, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was really, it was strange.
Cool. Now, can I ask you, to keep it about self-esteem, how much is your work affecting how you view yourself and feel about yourself, because for majority of comedians, it's got quite a hold on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is, like, I think way too deeply rooted yeah. in my, like, or connected to my self-esteem. And I think, like, I feel like there's, like, whole countries where you just have your job and that's, like, what you do, but it, yeah. it's not a reflection of your life, or, like, your success in your work is, like, neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's just a paycheck.
And, like, yeah, you have, like, your whole life.
Yeah.
And that's, like, part of, like, just a little part of it.
Yeah.
And I really wish that I, like, had more of that
yeah.
the mentality, because I feel so, like my day-to-day, like, sense of fulfillment and, like, confidence is so tied to my career.
Yeah, and it's like, if you don't get something done, like, say you and Jocelyn had a meeting or something, and then you didn't finish, or you didn't crack the idea, like, whatever the case, then you, like, you get off the phone and you're like, I'm a bad person. Like, yeah. it's like, it feels, or when I'm not doing something, I feel useless and not needed in the world. And I'm like, that's insane. You talked to 3 different friends today, maybe gave a good advice to this person, listened for this yeah. person, you attended a show, you showed support. But then I'm like, oh, I'm bad because I didn't do anything, or right, I'm like, not needed.
Yeah.
Like you said, for the community where you're like, have I been forgotten? Like, you're like, yeah. am I a ghost? And you know what I mean? And I'm like, that is kind of messed up to have yeah. so much power over us when you're right. It's just one part of our lives.
Yeah.
It's good that you have family that keeps you busy and going to see your sister somewhere else, because that's a good reminder. There is more to life, you know? My family does that for me. That's which I really appreciate. Nice. Yeah. yeah.
It's important. And I think it's also, for me, good to be, like, around someone like my sister who's not in...
Yes.
Like, who just has... She's all, like, you know, like a user interface designer. Like, she's like a genius, but like,
wow, everyone you know has really interesting jobs.
I actually don't. I couldn't explain what she does. I'm not sure, and I'm embarrassed about that.
We need a new podcast called Dawn Explains Your Job. Yes, it's just you, it's like, trying to explain what you think people are doing.
Yeah, it would be so far off, but I would, with confidence, make a
so
guess.
Much yeah. confidence. Yeah, yes. Like when you walked in with these rose jeans.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's my family keeps me grounded in that. Like, I'll ask them how they're doing. I want to know how they're doing, because I just want to hear about the other things in the world, because we don't have weekends in what we do.
Yeah.
There's no Saturday, Sunday. It's every day you're supposed to be doing something, or maybe you have a show or, like, whatever, write something that you didn't get done. So it never feels like a weekend. So it always feels like I haven't done enough, because there's no... Oh, my God, this dog's going crazy. I'm going to let her in. Hold on.
Mia has things to say.
So annoying.
Hi, Mia. I love you on the dazzled collar.
Oh, my God. Thanks. Mia, come here. Off. Come here. Everybody, I shouldn't have let Mia in. The podcast knows we've been following the saga of how much I hate the dog quite regularly. But now I love her. But for, like, the first couple months, she was a pandemic dog. And it was rough, those first couple months. I never had a dog. I don't know all the work. Like, it's like a baby.
I've never had a dog either. And I don't think I would be a good dog.
It's like a baby.
Because it really seems like so much work. And I think I'm way too selfish.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you just step it up because you have to, like, care for this beautiful being.
I guess. so mad at her. She's not even doing anything. No, it's the having a dog thing really, actually... Here we go. This kind of blends in perfect when I was talking about my family grounding me, like keeping me grounded and stuff. The dog does too, because you just have to not think about yourself for 5 fucking seconds to take it on the walk, to take it whatever. And it's a break about being like, Elena, your comedy doesn't matter for 2 seconds. This dog will die if you don't let her outside. Yes. You know what,
like,
I mean?
You have to just... go about, like, do a routine that has nothing to do with...
I think not necessarily why, but I think... with people who had babies in the pandemic, it kind of helped give a sense of purpose, because when we couldn't work and do something, and then you're like, all right, I'll just start this family or whatever. And you're like, that's something to do. And then now it's like, as things come back, everyone's like, this is a lot harder than I had anticipated. Oh, I understand. This requires quite a bit of time. It's just, I used to have more of it, so I didn't notice. Like, that's what I found with my friends that had babies or somebody else, something to have responsibility over.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It seems like a lot of work.
It seems like too much work. That said, would you like to adopt a baby with me? I think it makes sense.
Look, I fully do. Sharing a kid seems like much easier than being fully in charge of one.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. Is your sister liking motherhood? Is she like,
she
is it everything she thought?
She loves it. Good. She's a donor and had two kids.
Okay.
Both pandemic babies.
Wow. Whoa, that's like back to back.
Yes. It, to me, on one hand, I'm like, that is the most insane thing.
Yeah.
But she has always wanted kids. That's been like important to her. And I think she wanted to try and have kids, like biological children.
Yeah.
She was like 39 and was like, well, and single, and was like, well, I guess I should just do this.
Good honor. Kind of smart actually to have them pretty close, because then they can be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that age difference, when you're getting a couple, like my siblings and I were all like two and a half years apart, and we got along, it worked out. People found their pairings. There's four of us, but like, you know, when you're 6, 7, 8 years apart, you're like, I don't know what to say to you. Like, there's a whole chunk of your childhood that you're like, I have no idea what to talk about with you. Who are you?
Yeah.
But that's kind of nice to have them close. Do they, are like, is the one baby old enough to be aware of the other baby?
Yes.
And or is everyone the, doing the their own thing?
The older baby kind of just like terrorizes her, but is all, like obsessed with her. Like, and it's really funny. Like, my sister, I think, is mandated, like, it's okay if you touch her feet. Because at first he was like going for her eyes and like,
well, you gotta get into the eyes.
And so now he does this thing where he just like really squeezes and like kisses her feet. And it's like weird, but it's like what he's allowed to do. Because Ginger's like, he probably won't harm her.
Yeah.
But there's all these pictures where he's just like fiercely.
Watch her have like feet problem and alignment issues. Her whole life because of it.
Like, he's really aggressive
with them. That's so cute. Can I, personal question, did she use the same donor for both?
She did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating.
Wow.
Like, through her, I've kind of like found out about this whole world. But there's a Facebook group of other parents who have used the same donor.
Okay.
And so there's like, you know, 30 other kids that are like half siblings with these kids. And she has become good friends with one of them and the kid, and they like all hang out together.
Is this so in Seattle?
Yeah. They're kind of like dotted around mostly the West Coast, but there's a few of them in Seattle.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's like you can join or not, but she thought it was interesting. And
I would have joined. Curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you want to just see what the other kids look like?
Yes. Yes.
To be and like, oh, you have the same nose or something like that.
One wild thing is many of them have a third nipple. Like neither my niece or nephew don't, but isn't that so interesting?
I went, like, yeah. I mean, that's got to be genetic. Wow. Nipple.
Yeah,
I've never, so,
I don't know.
Not that I can recall. I don't know if I know anyone with a third nipple. I think I'd be great at it. I think I deserve one.
Yeah.
Right here in the middle.
It seems like.
And this one spurts something out at you.
Yeah. It seems fun and interesting, but.
Man, isn't that so funny? It's like when you're a kid and you have one thing different about you or something like that, it's like absolutely mortifying. And then as an adult, you can really rock it.
Yeah.
You can really rock. Like, I have a birthmark. I'm pointing to my breast now, everybody. Right? Like, on my boob. And I used to be so embarrassed about it, and now I'm like, I'm the Cindy Crawford of tits.
Yes,
you're all out of your mind.
That.
I'm having, and when you can see it, you know Alana's having a blast when it comes out, because it means I have something really low cut on with no bra. So you know when I'm having fun. The good old days when I had fun.
Oh, yes, back then.
Back then, yeah. Okay, so now, if you came into this like feeling around a 6 because you were feeling better in terms of community, what are the other things in your life that... Not, I mean, are we ever a 10, but let's just put it out there. But what would be some of the other contributing factors that's like maybe would enhance a number or decrease a number, you know, for how you're feeling about you?
Yeah. I think it's connected to like getting outside, that like, and I'm not a nature person at all. I'm the opposite of that, I think. But I find I feel better and like good about myself if I just get out of the house in the morning. And it's not about like exercise. It's I'm just walking very slowly.
Yeah.
But that to me feels like, I think it's just being like out in the world and like, it really like is connected to that for me.
I take a morning walk too. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not by any means exercising. If anything, it could be reducing my exercise.
Yeah, I'm usually like it's so drinking slow. Like an oat milk latte and often eating a croissant.
So, oh my God. Know, yeah. I'm getting nothing like, done.
It's
kind of I like it because it's me starting the day by myself. Somewhat centering, like I go, this is your day today, you're here, you're in this moment, and the walk is only serving me.
Yeah, that's a really good way. Like, I've never really, like, thought about, like, why that's so, like, centering.
And it I is, could be wrong, like, but...
this is time for me.
Yeah, and, because once you're in the house or corresponding with friends or emails and stuff like that, now you're serving other people, which... acts of service, we all love. It makes us feel good to make others feel good and be there for them. I'm not, the dog's snoring now. It's acts so, of service. So thank you, Mia. Hates the conversation. Okay. But like, it's this idea that it's like, once the day gets going involving other people, that's it. The day's out of your hands now. Try finding a moment alone at 2 p.m. Yeah. Really quite hard to do once you're in the middle of the day. But something about the morning where I'm like, if I can just start it with just me and either my thoughts or songs I want to listen to or a podcast. I don't even need to be talking or thinking or anything like that. But if I can just like have a moment, then I'm like, I'm just clear for the day. It feels like a little more clear.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think so often, like I end up like when I'm working with Jocelyn or something, or we'll like get sucked into work and like we'll end up working till late. And it's like, I know that I have this like time in the morning that's just like, I'm not like just for me. Yeah. And I don't have to like, cause I never know really like how late things will go or whatever. And
it's also nice to have your brain shut off kind of, because when you're sleeping, well, for all we know, you're dreaming, you're this or that. We have no idea, obviously, unless you can remember it, but it's like, it's waking rest. It's really nice just to be like, I don't have to think about anything, or I can think about absolutely everything and get a head start on the day. Like today I had a very stressful back-to-back type of day. And this morning I had to take the time, not quite meditate, but I just sat right here on the couch. I usually journal, but I didn't, because I was like, just process what needs to be done and what's the best way we can go into all of it.
That's so good.
Yeah, and I feel like if I didn't have that, because I'm kind of stressed out. This week's been like really stressful for me. Not like work stuff or anything, just like emotionally stressful. Oh, you know, sometimes you just sometimes like not looking forward to something, or like, you know, you're feeling a certain way. You can't shake it. Yeah. Like kind of one of those weeks.
Yeah.
And I just felt like everything was very taxing. So it was nice to plan today the approach to each thing, because each one was different. Like a podcast, an audition, therapy, like these are very different. Like I had to go from therapy into the audition, and I was like, well, this is a fucking nightmare. She's like, so how's it going, Lana? And I was like, well, I'm quite stressed out, but I can't cry because I have makeup on for the big audition. So it was like, it's kind of like a mind fuck. But I'm glad I had that moment, because if I hadn't planned it out this morning, I would have cried in that therapy session, and I really couldn't afford to do it. Like,
I just couldn't afford to do it.
I had to have a clean face.
Eyes for your audition.
Well, that's if work is so tied into how we feel about ourselves, and then I fuck up this audition, now I feel bad about me.
Yeah.
And I was because I cried in therapy because I felt bad. So I'm like, this is two bads. We need one success in here. So I felt how I felt in therapy, did the audition, and then before you got here, I just like put on my, and you were like, I'm running 5 minutes late, and I was like, thank fucking God, because I was like, I had to like put in my headphones and just like listen to a song that's kind of calming and just take a breather, because otherwise, and I know I talked about it a little bit, but I didn't want to be overwhelmed with sadness on the episode if whatever I'm feeling this week, because I want to be present with you. I was so excited for you to come, and Jocelyn, I told Jocelyn, I was like, oh, I got to get Dawn on the podcast. And she went, she's shy. Don't you let her say no. Don't you let her get out of it.
You know,
she was like, you'd be surprised, Alana.
I know. I almost, especially lately, I just have said no to like everything.
Yeah.
And then part of it when I had like a few weeks ago, a bit of a like low moment of like, oh, I just don't feel like I'm part of the community. I had this like light bulb go off that's like, well, maybe because I say no to everything.
Could be.
And so like I acted in a short film last weekend.
Oh, cool.
And I, like, did this podcast and I like reached out to some people that I like really want to see and that I feel like it's important that they're in my life that yeah. I just haven't seen the whole pandemic. And I was like, I think, you know, part of it is like we can't be in control of the situation when there's a pandemic or
other,
you have to travel for a while or whatever. But I was like, some of this I can take a little bit of control over.
Well, it's like if you're missing out on community, but then you've said no to the community, they're going to assume you are not missing them.
Yes, exactly.
They're going to be like, she's busy. Like, you are so busy. I wrote you 2 months ago or something, like end of October, beginning of November. And I was like, I'll reach back out in a month. And you were like, oh, I'm going here for work. And I was like, oh my, I was like, she's very busy. Even when I asked Jocelyn, I write in the email and I wrote it to you too. I was like, if you're too busy or not interested, I don't take offense. Cause I really don't. Everybody has things going on. I really don't take offense if someone doesn't want to do a podcast, in which I say, so tell me about your feelings. Like, I understand
It's funny. I feel like, as I've gotten like older, like in the last few years, I've gotten like really a lot more shy and a little like insecure that I think everyone thinks I'm like will be like that I'm boring or like I don't know what it is, but I've just gotten a little like more meek.
Was this starting before the pandemic? Really, was it started before?
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe part of it was like with Greener Grass when our movie came out, we were like traveling so much and doing podcasts.
Wearing killer outfits to all the premieres, matching, coordinated.
Really weird outfits. I think I just hit this burnout where I was on all these podcasts and I was like, what do I have to say? Like, there's so many, I don't know. It was like this strange thing. And then I just got like also really insecure that like, I don't read any reviews. I never look at comments. I don't, I like have in my head that like, I don't know, there's like criticism. And I was like, I just need to like be more private. I don't know what it is, but then Jocelyn was like, it's so lovely on the podcast. And then I started listening and I was like,
oh, I'm so really glad you did it. Yeah. No, I'm really glad you did it because it's like, and I was so glad that Jocelyn did it too. I'm so glad when anybody does it because I'm like, this is just a good hangout. It's going to bring us closer together. Yeah. And it has with everybody, like so many people I've seen them since and you know what I mean? Like hung out in ways that I wouldn't normally hang out and come to the house, meet the dog. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's bringing, because yes, the theater's open, but not everybody's back. We're not having the parties like we used to, you know, we're all older now. Yeah. So it's not quite the same. It's back, but it's not, and it's only newly back. So it's not quite the same. So I'm like, this is what it is now. It's come to my house and let me force you to talk to me for an hour. Now we've broken the ice. Now we may continue on to be normal friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because,
and I'm really proud of you that you said you reached out to people because somebody has to reach out first. And you're sitting here going, oh, nobody wants to hang out with me. And then they're sitting there going, nobody wants to hang out with me. So if we're all saying that.
It's so hard to like get over that. And it like taps into like some deep like period of my adolescence where I like had two friends. But I'm like,
oh my God, totally.
But then like, I don't know if these people actually want to see me, but we are seeing each other.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? I'm going to say this. Coming out of the pandemic, anyone will see anyone these days. Yes, I have, and I am reaping all the benefits. I'm like, I know you can't say no to me because you have nothing else going on. It's like, I'm being the shithead about it. No, it's people are looking to connect, and we've all changed.
Yeah.
Like, significantly, we have all changed.
Yeah.
Whether we know it or not, and it's important to reintroduce yourself to everybody. It really does feel like that. Like, I've had, in the last year alone of my life, the biggest life changes I've had. I'm 38, and it's like, in this last year, it felt like all the changes just happened in 1 year. Like,
wow.
I thought I had changed in the past or grown or this or that or experienced all the major things to experience and processed it. And now I'm like, oh no, I was like way off. Yeah. I had so much more that needed to happen. And now to see my, like, okay, this is an example. So I just got this haircut today.
It's short. So
yeah, it's really short. I hacked off. It was to here. Everybody, I don't know how to show. I've hacked off at least 7 inches.
Oh my gosh. Lot. It has like such nice body.
It's got a lot of body to it. But I go for the audition before you were coming, a Zoom audition. And they're like, Elena, how you doing? I went, I hacked off all my hair and I'm a free woman. Watch out, 2023. And they went, okay. And they were like not having it about how free I was. But it was like, that to me is my sum up of the year, where I was like, I thought I was free. I thought I was this. I thought I was that. And then I was like, I was not. And yeah. Now I have nothing to lose. I am a woman unhinged. Watch out.
Oh, I love it.
I am
it.
A woman unhinged. I love it. In fact, let's play my favorite game leading it. Wait, let me check. Oh, we're laughing on time. Here's my favorite game I want to ask you leading into the new year.
Yes.
I'm not one for New Year's resolutions because they end after 3 weeks. So
yeah.
When I ask this question, I don't want the answer, lose 5 pounds. This is not what I want to
no,
hear.
No, mine has always been to floss and I do not
keep okay, it. See, this I don't want to hear. You're not like going to do it.
Once a week. Yeah. And I'm like, at best.
You're not going to do it.
Yeah. No, I just won't. And I'll just get lots of dental work.
What would you say is one thing you're looking forward to in 2023 and one thing you're happy to leave behind of 2022? Oh, isn't it fun to phrase it that way?
That's a good question.
It's the phrasing. Yes. It's the phrasing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. One thing I'm happy to leave behind, I'm going to answer that first, is this lack, it's like a lack of trying, where not in like work, that's mm-hmm. like fine, whatever, but it's in like my social life and in like with my family.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of like, at the end of the day, I just like eat and watch TV and go to bed. And there's like, that's just night after night after night. And yeah. I think there's like this I've noticed like in this last little bit of time when I've been reaching out to people and like going, even just like, I went to see like a documentary that I was like driving around and I heard on Film Week an interview with this filmmaker. And I was like, oh, this sounds good. Oh, there's a screening in a half hour. I'm just going to go.
So spontaneous.
Yes. And I'm trying to, and it was like this most beautiful film. And, I'm just trying to be like, what if I just go and do things?
Yeah.
And like on a random, another, like last week, like I was sitting and my husband and I were finishing dinner at like 7:00. And I was like, I don't want to just like go watch TV. Like, let's leave the house.
Yep.
And we just went for a walk and got ice cream and whatever. But
well,
I was,
we know
like,
you love dairy-based desserts.
I love a dairy-based dessert and I enjoyed it. But I think there was this, for so long, I've been like a little lethargic. And so I'm trying really hard to leave that part of me behind and just like embrace spontaneity.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So leave behind staying in the house.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Looking forward to it. What's our 2023 going to be? I'll answer after as well.
Oh, wait. Looking forward to.
Looking. Okay. Yeah. What are you like looking forward to in your 2023?
Well, this is like a career related, but which I probably shouldn't answer this way, but Jocelyn and I are writing another movie, which we have like somehow put off doing for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we're writing 5 pages a day. And I'm putting it out there that we are going to make a movie next
year. You are. If anyone is, it's you too.
We are only on page 17 and, you know, we don't have financing or a script, but I'm putting it out there like make something.
It's a yes.
Okay.
It's going to happen. Yes, I know it is.
So that's something I'm looking forward to. And
making
I'm
a movie.
It out loud.
Great.
On a podcast.
Making a movie.
Yeah.
And this podcast is listened to by a lot of movie makers.
A lot of big wigs.
Let's just say the big wigs, starting and ending with you, are listening to the podcast.
If you want to see the first 17 pages of a script that needs to be rewritten.
17 questionable pages. You know where to turn.
Let me know.
Okay. Leave behind in 2022. I don't mean to be a bummer or depressing, but I want to leave behind some grief and fear. Okay. I want to leave those coincide because it's either feeling the grief or the fear of feeling more grief that like bad things are going to happen or something like that. So I'm leaving that behind. I want nothing to do with it anymore. Of course, grief is a lifelong experience that you have, right. But I want to leave behind the fear I have of it now, of being afraid to feel it or being afraid it's going to come from another place or something like that. And I'll carry it with me, but I don't want to be so scared.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
It's a hard one.
Very hard. So we shall see. And then what I'm looking forward to in 2023, carefree travel. So what that means is, and I've talked about this before, when I travel, I get really anxious being gone. Like you're talking about splitting your time and stuff. I get so anxious, like I'm missing something or I need to be doing something, even though I don't. Mm-hmm. But I don't like to leave for too long. And this summer we have a really big trip planned. We have a couple trips planned. Oh. And I'm looking forward to just being like, here I am for the big trip and it lasts how long it lasts. Like I'm yes, it's a lot.
Just embracing it
so I can enjoy.
What? You're not going to be like, oh, I'm the, when you're like 85, you're not going to be like, oh, I missed that audition because I was wherever. Like you're going to remember the trip.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to trying to relinquish control of my own trip anxiety. So I'm looking forward to joyful travel.
Yeah,
so I've got my work cut out for me. I've got
that's a lot of work.
Both sides of it. I've really set myself up here.
That's a lot.
But that's it. I'd say that's it. And Dawn, I hate to be a bitch, but we did it. We have reached the end of the podcast now.
And now we're
you've binged. You know what's coming.
Yeah.
You started this podcast feeling it 6 out of 10 in terms of self-esteem. Where are you at now? And you know we accept any number.
I feel like I'm at an 8.5.
Whoa! I'm off the charts. Because yes. You could have bailed. You could have.
I could have, but you didn't want to. No.
You came. And I survived my day and was able to come and have a joyful conversation with you and said some real things. I'm not hiding from my feelings. I don't think you have to repress feelings or that you're a drag if you talk about some bummer stuff. But I feel like that grief thing, I was able to say it from a more positive perspective than maybe an hour ago before we started. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm really glad you came. I have something else to do after this. You've set me up to be in a good mood to do that because I was feeling stressed out and now I'm feeling great. And so really, thank you. Yeah, you really like.
Well, thank you.
Lifted me up.
Same here. Yeah, I feel so good and just like happy we like reconnected.
Well, you got the free soda water.
And I mostly am here. I really am appreciating this soda water. And I'm grateful.
And on that note, thank you.
Thank you. Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Self-esteem.